Okay, Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. I guess we gotta hear from our little bird. A question I get from people all the time, or a comment, not locally, usually not face to face, that's for sure, but over the internet or whatever, and that is this: I have no church to go to now. Now what do I do? And I get that question, and then I get the one about, where is God anyway? He doesn't seem to be doing anything for me. I'll deal with that one later. That'll probably take a series, a little bit of a series. But this morning we're going to look at the issue of, if you get a hold of this King James Bible, you get a hold of Paul, all this kind of stuff, you're going to eventually end up without a church. Doesn't have to. It's not the design. We know in Ephesians chapter 4 that there is a design, there is a purpose for a church. And for the perfecting of saints in verse 12, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, we have a purpose for a church. It's not God's design that we leave the church. However, in the apostasy that's taking place, and it has been for years, but it's getting so obvious now that people can't even see it, you're going to end up, stand with the truth, then you're going to have to end up getting out of your church. I'm not here to tell people to leave their church. I'm not against church. I'm not against pastors. I'm against religion, and I despise it, and I want to destroy it, just like it says in Acts 19. And I despise pastors that are lying to people. I finally got into a little chit-chat with a pastor over the internet on Facebook last night, and it just reminded me how typical and waste of time that it is to talk to these guys. And he's even a King James guy. So here's my answer, and then we're going to explain this thing this morning, and it's not the most comfortable answer in the world. I'm not a whole lot better at it, but here's the answer. You have no church to go to now, and if you do, you're not going to eventually. You're going to have to leave it eventually if you want to be that sincere Christian. And I'll explain why as we go here. But here's the answer to that question. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. And that says, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, where they lie in wait to deceive. And then also look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, where he says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Here's what we need to do, if at all possible, and it's hard, I'm not going to say that it isn't, and I'll show you why. If you have no church or will not have a church someday, you know what the answer to that question is? What do? You grow up. That's what we do. We're supposed to grow up. Now, I'll show you what I mean. If you can stay with me for this thing this morning, I've got 50 minutes or thereabouts, so we can do it. First of all, did you make this decision that you have no church to attend now? Did you make that decision to please God? Or did you make that decision to please you? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that's the risen Jesus, and this is Paul's people and Paul talking here, that as ye have received of us, that's Paul's gospel, Paul's teachings, how ye ought to walk and to please God. Now, if your walk takes you to a church that's not pleasing God, then grow up and please God instead of yourself or instead of man. I'll explain in a few minutes why I'm saying what I'm saying here. Was it a good decision or was it a wrong decision? Did you leave because it pleased God, or did you leave because it pleased you, or what here? Or do you stay in the church you're at to please God? Do you stay in the church you're at to please your wife, your husband, your father, your kids? Everybody wants their kids to be happy in church, and so they'll stay someplace if the kids are happy. And does that please God? Is that what God wants? Well, the only way to look at this thing is to look at it through our scriptures. We know there's a purpose for a local church, and if it's not being fulfilled, do you stay there? If you have no other choice, what do you do? Well, at least you got to go to a church someplace. Where does it say that? Where does it say, well, you've got to walk in a building somewhere and play the religious liturgical game of Christianity? Well, okay, so what do we do? Well, I'm going to show you what we do here today. Let's look at, I think it's 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Is it a good decision that you left your church? I'm going to bet that it is. I'm going to say that it is. Now you don't even know your situation. But here, look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. And it goes through this whole description of a modern Christian. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. You know that stuff there. Without natural affection, truce breakers, etc., etc. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such, turn away. You know what that tells me to say to you and say to us, anybody else out there? If that's what's going on in your church, or in your circle, or in your gang, or whatever, you're supposed to turn away. And it goes on where it gets into the houses and leads away women, silly women laden with sins. And I'll tell you, that's the first bunch to get caught up in this modern junk, or women. And then it says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Did your pastor preach psychology, whatever? Sure he did. That's what they're doing today. But anyway, my point is this. Verse 9, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men. Here's one of the problems of hanging around a dud church, even though it might be fun, might even make you happy, whatever, but you know what's scripturally wrong. Your kids or people that watch you will stumble because you're participating in the folly of modern Christianity. And I know that they'll stumble because these kids are going to grow up and they're going to see no answer to physical, materialistic prayer, no healings that take place. Their little sister can die. I mean, all sorts of things can happen. Lousy job, lousy schooling, horrible life, that kind of stuff. And they wonder where this marvelous, loving God is at, because he's not there, like the modern Christian people teach. So, it's a folly. And eventually, they stumble. They quit. And then they don't believe in God, they don't believe in the Bible, they don't believe in nothing. There's one possibility out of that folly. The other possibility is your kids can get caught up in that folly. They get caught up in that lie and play the game their whole life and think that they're saved, think that they're hearing from God, and they just get getting themselves all ready for the Antichrist, who's going to pop up with a flesh-oriented religion, tons of worship, etc., etc., fancy building, and the whole deal. So the folly is one reason why you want to get out of these places, and if you left your church, then you left the folly. If you left the folly. Now, here's another reason, good decision, if your church is corrupted. What do you mean corrupted? Is it just an organization? Is it a local community organization? Is there tax hassles going on? Is it just being run horribly? Is it just a corrupted organization? Or is it following scriptures? Is it doing what Paul teaches in Ephesians 4, and et cetera, et cetera? Is that what's going on? Now, here's what's really going on. I left the church one time because of the tax structure and the way the pastor was taking the money, blah, 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 blah. Because I don't want to get caught up in that thing. You got to remember that if you're a member of a local church that gets messed up on a tax basis, you're accountable. They can come and rip your stuff away, too. And these days, they're going after churches and taxes and the whole thing. And a local church doesn't have to pay taxes on the land. A local church doesn't have to pay workman's comp kind of stuff because the pastor's not hired. He's just a self-employed preacher. And life goes on. But if you want to play the corporation game, or if they're going to be out there and do this kind of stuff, then you got to pay, and your money is going to the government, not to God. And if you have to maintain a building, and you have to pay all this kind of money into electricity and repairs and kind of stuff, and you're really struggling to do God's work, then it's going into the wrong place, if that's your situation. I don't know. I'm just saying. For those two reasons, folly and corruption of the organization. But here's what's really going on. This is what really disturbs you. I know it does. You've left the church probably because of one of these reasons, music. You know the music is wrong. You know the music is fleshly. You see what's going on with the music, and you don't even know anything about music. You just know. And then you got those guys that know a lot about music and the scriptures and stuff. That's an excellent reason to leave a church. Another reason that is a good reason to leave a church. King James Bible is not being preached. Duh. We know that. But let's get these King James guys, let's clean them up a little bit, and let's talk about this rightly dividing the word of truth. If they don't do that rightly, then you're still being lied to. You're still being taught a false gospel. In a wrongly divided preaching church, you've got false doctrine come out of your ears. You've got pressure to give and to build more buildings and plans and stuff to get going. They're not going to preach the walk, because who wants to hear about that? That's just legalism, according to them. You're going to hear biblical philosophy, and they're going to try to fix your old nature. You know your old nature can't be fixed. You know who you really are. You know what you really want to do, and you've got to take your mind, stick it in this book, and you've got to tell yourself, no, I don't want to. I want to do that, but I'm not going to. And you know from Paul that if you do it, get up and you keep going again. But that doesn't mean that we don't want to use grace to hide behind. So, you know, you got all those issues, all those doctrinal issues. You've got a pastor. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're already there. Look at verse 6. 1 Timothy 4:6, where it says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith," that's Paul, "and of good doctrine," that's Paul's teachings, "whereunto thou hast attained." If he's not doing that, you've got a lousy pastor. We'll get to that in a minute here. So, and we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I mean, we've got scriptures all over the place that'll help you. Did you make the right decision when you left the church? Or are you making the right decision to stay there? 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And, you know, and I'll tell you why it's so hard. This is not easy. I know that. But let me just explain to you one more thing, and then I'll explain to you why it's so hard to not have a church to go to. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says this here, that 1 Corinthians 4:17. There we go, 17. Didn't look that right. "For this cause," to follow Paul in verse 16, "I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ," that's the risen Savior, "as I teach everywhere in every church." If your pastor's not doing that and you left for a correct reason. Now, look at 1 Corinthians, where it is, look at chapter 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And here's something people want to try to do. They're so afraid to leave a church. And I'll show you why in a few minutes. But they're so afraid to leave the church, they think if they stick around in that church, they'll be able to fix it. They'll be a good testimony to somebody in that church. They'll be able to still help somebody somewhere. And that always makes me think of 1 Corinthians 7:16. It's referring to a marriage, but it's still the same thing. He says, because the lady wants to hang around this unbelieving guy. And the Bible says, "For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man," same thing, "whether thou shalt save thy wife?" God calls a marriage into a peaceful thing. He wants it to be a peaceful thing. And if it's not, you can break it up. So why do you think you should stick around in a church that's teaching false gospel, music is horrible, or you know it's heading horrible, the King James Bible may even still be there, but it's not pushed anymore, because who wants to upset the lost people? We want to get lost people into the church, you know. No, that is not the design of a church. If your pastor's preaching how to fix your old nature and teaching your children how to live properly by having their old nature being taught properly so they don't even need the Lord when they get older, I mean, what is going on here? If you think you can stick around there and fix it, you're crazy, because God even says that to a married couple. Okay. That was good, huh? Now, one more thing. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3. "If any man love God, the same was known of him." What? That you love God. Why did you leave the church? Because you love God. And people will know it. Did you leave the church because you didn't like the people? Well, that's not right. Did you leave the church because you didn't like they didn't give you enough credit for your offerings? The offerings went places you didn't want it to go? All these kind of nitpicky little things. Is that why you quit the church? Then they'll know. But if you quit the church because of scriptural supported reasons and you do it properly, they'll know that you love God. They don't want to agree with it. They don't understand it. But that's what you're doing. And if you love them, this is going to sound strange, but if your church isn't teaching this, no local church is perfect. Don't get me wrong. The body of Christ is perfect and clean, et cetera, et cetera. But a local church? Come on. How much you know when you're sitting in there that you're wasting your time? So, here he goes. If you love God and you want to please God, it's one of the things you have to do. Get out of that folly modern Christianity, which you folks have, pretty much. Not everybody, but people that listen to this. I know some of you still go to church. So is that my point? No, that's not my point. My point is this. If you quit the church, local church, what do you do? I've had people ask me that. I don't know what to do. I got no church to go to. And here's why we have such a hard time. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." We find ourselves under the power of a local church. We are addicted to going to church. Well, what's wrong with that? Well, local church has its purpose. God would have us attend a church. Don't get me wrong. I'm not against church. I'm just against wasting your time and not pleasing God and being fed poison and think you're worshiping God with this garbage flesh music and watching your kids be taught wrong, da-da-da-da. Yeah, I'm against that. And like I said in Acts 19, I've been there, I've done it, I've seen the damage that it's done, I want to destroy it, I despise it. I can't just live with it and have a great time. No, I despise what that church is doing to you. I want to destroy in somebody's lives their local church life if it's wrong. Now, here's why we have such a hard time leaving a church. Number one, you miss the preaching and the teaching. You know what that does? That puts the dad on the spot. Because where are you going to get the preaching? Where's your family going to get the teaching? Where are you going to get your teaching? Well, you can pop on Facebook. Yeah, we lost a lot of guys to Facebook because they've gone to this modern mid-acts junk, which is just baloney. Or they get caught up in some other stuff. So how do you know what to look for in your preaching? Well, that's one of the dangers. Well, how do you know what your pastor's preaching? You got a Bible, right? Well, same thing as the internet. So I'll say this, though. We're still here. This is a King James Bible preaching, rightly dividing, Paul following, trying to keep your music taught, et cetera, et cetera. So here we are. Can't say that it isn't available. I'm not saying that arrogantly. Don't mean to. I will say this. I will get you into your Bible. So we'll leave that one alone. I'm not going to yak about that thing here, but you know that it's available. So you can't stay in your church to get to preaching if it's not being taught right. Here's the second thing. You miss the convenience and the ease of going to church. You know, you get up in the morning and you have your little Leave It to Beaver breakfast and Ozzie and Harriet type of a style and nobody fights and you drive to church and having a great time and put on your dressy clothes, all this kind of stuff, and you go there and the pastor does all the preaching and teaching to you because he studied all week. You know, you paid him to do that. And the women go off with the pastor's wife in some places because everybody thinks the pastor's wife is supposed to teach the women. I don't know where they get that. It's not even there scripturally. You like to go to that church because somebody in that church has got a standard lower than yours, and so you're happy about your standard, even though your standard still isn't high enough for modesty or loudness or whatever. Men, same thing. You go there and you can find somebody worse than you, busier than you, haven't got the time to be the man you're supposed to be, so you can go there and find somebody worse off. Remember, we're not supposed to compare ourselves with them that compare themselves, et cetera, et cetera. But if you go there, you can find somebody worse, and you'll feel better about yourself. And you know what? Besides that, your kids are having a great time. They love it there. The music in their little rock and roll room is great, and their teen guy is cool, and you know, and they got all these other girls and guys in there anyway, and who wants to be around the stuffy parents, and and besides, if you leave your kids up to your youth pastor, he can get them saved instead of you. And then again, I've seen young people get saved, truly get saved, and get excited about their Bible, and want to change their life, and boom, their parents are shocked. Well, what you put them in the group for? Don't you want that in your kids? This is all the mess that goes on in a church. We're addicted to the convenience and the ease of getting up and going to church. Drive in and drive away. Until next week. Maybe you're sincere enough that you go on a Wednesday night. Maybe. And Sunday night? Why not? Nothing else to do. Then you can go casual Sunday night. You wear your tie and your fancy dress on Sunday morning, but at night you show up in your jeans and your casual stuff because, man, it's Sunday night, you know? And then Wednesday night you barely get in there, so you're going to be dressed in your grubbies. Which is, you know, fine. Doesn't matter what you dress in, kind of a thing, but then again, yes, it does. Come on. Would you ever go to a boss's meeting looking like a slob? Would you ever take your kids into an office meeting with your boss and let them run around and make noises and stuff while your boss is trying to tell you how to run your job? No, why not? Because he pays you money. That's your God. If you go to church, let your kids run around, let somebody else take care of your kids. Don't interfere until they get in trouble, you know, all this kind of stuff. Yeah. The church thing is a worthless scene anymore. We go to church and we just get frustrated more than we come out of there edified and encouraged. And I know, I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. You know, the Bible says this is going to happen. There's going to be a famine hearing the word of God. We know that. We know 2 Thessalonians. It talks about the apostasy. So don't be upset. Don't be surprised. It's not fun. I didn't think of this would happen in my era, my age as such. But anyway. So there's two things. Here's another reason people are so addicted to church. What are you going to do with your money? What do I do with my offerings? Now what? P.O. Box 487, Kadoka, South Dakota. That's not what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. People give in their church because A, they're supposed to. B, they need a tax write-off. I remember so many times I get a couple big checks the church to get a couple of big checks on at the end of the year. Oh, good, this is when people love God more than the rest of the year because they need a tax write-off. So they send in that extra 1,000 or 3,000 or whatever. I remember getting these checks at the church on January 2nd or January 1st. And you know what? That's wrong. Unless I'm wrong, Sam, on this thing, if you pay a donation on January 1st or 2nd or 3rd, doesn't that go to the new year? How can you apply that to the past year? People do it all the time. I don't know why they wait. I wait. They don't love God until New Year's Eve. And then they have all their little concoctions, and they listen to Guy Lombardo, and then they decide, you know what, I love God more tonight. I think I'll write him a big check tomorrow. This stuff is so silly. So you don't know what to do with your money. And Paul talks about money, by the way, if you didn't hear this, 1 Corinthians 16, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. Paul does not ignore the need of giving. Romans chapter 12, some people are gifted with that. Cheerfully. Okay. How are we doing here? We got to get moving here. So we're addicted to the preaching to somebody else. We don't know what to do with our money, and we miss the convenience and these. Here's another reason people can't leave their church. Oh, they just love their pastor. And I'm glad you do. I think there was a couple minutes I was loved, et cetera, et cetera. Whatever. No, you go to Jude 16, though, in Hebrews chapter 13, they got you thinking it's supposed to do everything your pastor says. It's supposed to do everything your pastor shows in your Bible to do, but not what he says. So if your pastor's teaching that the Paul's gospel is wrong, you know what? Your pastor's wrong. He's lying. He's feeding you poison. You don't stay there. But he's such a nice guy. Well, there is a purpose for a pastor. I've heard people say we don't have to have pastors today. Well, he gave some pastors. If you have a chance to have a pastor that preaches a King James Bible, Radically Divided Paul, etc., etc., then you take the guy. Okay, so he's ugly, so he's fat, so he's got bad eating habits. Go down the list, okay, but is he teaching the right stuff? Get over the fact that he's probably not the best father in the world, the best husband or whatever. Is he teaching you the truth? Sure. Is he corrupting the church? Yes, when you get out of there. But if that's not the case, 2 Thessalonians 5, Ephesians chapter 4, Jeremiah 3, even Nahum chapter 8 tells us there's a purpose for a pastor. So help us understand this stuff. But we're running out of churches. There's no church to go. There's hardly any pastors anymore teaching the truth. They're trying to get the lost people to come to church. They're trying to go to Acts chapter 2 to get to be Acts chapter 2, it says to be Acts chapter 2, it says here to be approved of whatever, of many or whatever, the community, whatever. He says here, having favor with all the people. The church is designed for the saved people to be fed, not for the lost people to want to come. It is an amazing, and that's another sermon. If you don't understand that one, write to me and I'll tell you about it. Here's another reason people can't leave their church. They miss the building. Serious? Yes. We got these modern buildings that got fountains and coffee bars and swimming pools instead of baptisms and baptismals, and it is another place. They just probably come to visit our church. You'd love the building. Stuff like that. You know, it takes the pressure off of having people come through the right stuff. You like the old historical building. I love the old church back in Tucson, the old building with the bell ringing up at the tower and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, well, I miss that stuff. But we know God's not in the building. We do know that, right? And it does get you out of your house. So that's nice. The ladies are tired of being in the house all week, if you're one of those kind of few rare ladies. Then at least you get out of the house, you get to drive in your washed car and get all gussied up and all that. And it's fun. The ladies can do this lady stuff they do, and the men can just pop on their stuff and be masculine and when they go to church and walk in there and be cool because they get more money than everybody else. And, you know, and the building is really exciting. Yes, we paid for the piano. Yes, we paid to have the buildings painted. Yes, we paid for this and that. We're proud of this little place. The lawn is perfect, all this kind of stuff, you know. God's not there. I remember how hard it was for me when we first got started in the ministry years ago. We'd go to a storefront building downtown or something, some little disaster little laundromat or something that we'd clear up and make it into a church. And that was hard for people. You got to have a respectable building before people will come to your church, you know. So some people have a hard time with that. Then we go to Colossians 2:16. Get over this stuff here in a minute here. I'll show you something here. Colossians 2:16 says this here that, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath days. You know, Paul teaches the Ten Commandments minus one, and he leaves out the remember the Sabbath day. So you can have church on Monday. We get so addicted to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Look at me. I teach on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday nights. I've done a couple off. How many of you listened to 1 Corinthians chapter 16? Raise your hands. Da 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 da. Because see, if you didn't, then there you are. You're addicted to the fact that it's got to be in the time that you sit down to do it. You mean take some time during the week and listen to a sermon? But there's nobody else there. It's not our little happy family again. Okay, but do you want to be fed? Do you love God? Do you want to please God? You want to learn about the money thing? No, listen to it anyway. Because see, now it's your choice. I wasn't even going to do this particular sermon except in my office at a separate time. But I figured, who wants to listen to some guy preach about why not, what do you do when you don't have a church? Because you guys don't have a church. So you got to handle, don't you? So I figured, I better do this live. I better put it on whether they want to hear it or not. And then we'll go on with Corinthians tonight. Okay, so, you know, you can do your church anytime you want. I remember I tried to have our church preaching services so we can have everybody who works night shifts. We try to get all together. We'd have church on Tuesdays and Thursdays or whatever. Somebody would always say, you know what, I really miss church on Sunday. I felt so ungodly when I didn't get up and go to church Sunday morning. I don't know what to do. See, we get addicted to this stuff. This is all flesh, by the way. This is all flesh addiction. We got to go to church because we got to hear the preacher. I got to get my money. I got to get tax stuff here. It's so much easier just to go to church instead of do it myself. And the pastor, oh, you know, he loves us. He loves us so much. I just couldn't do this to him. Right. I love men, a men pleaser, which is a pastor, is more in love than God. And the building, oh, I've contributed so much money to that building. I don't want to leave. I can't leave this place now. And I got to go to church on Sunday. What do? I got to get up and go to church somewhere. Then here's the last point here, which is a good point. We miss the fellowship. Well, yeah, we do. But is that the only reason to go to church? Is to hear the poison, drink the poison, eat the poison, so we can be around other people who are being poisoned? Now, I got my old tractor from years ago, and this is a hard thing to miss. You know, there's still opportunity for the preaching and the teaching. You can still send your money here if you want, or help somebody. It's not as convenient, but what's more convenient than to sit in your own house, in your own jammies, and lay in your own bed, and eat popcorn and junk while you're listening to a sermon or whatever? You know, I mean, what's more convenient and easy than that? You miss your pastor. Well, you got me, and you don't have to put up a looking at me. You can just hear me, and you can't even understand half my words, so you can pretend like you're getting it. But see, in your place, I don't even know if you're there. Your name is up. But I know when I'm done and it turned off, everybody goes away, and I come back in a half hour, and your name is still up. You know what that tells me? That tells me you weren't even there for the sermon. You turned it on, you clicked in, and something distracted you. I'm not saying you left on purpose, but you were distracted. Somebody calls you from upstairs or downstairs, and something happens. The dog throws up or whatever, and you got to go out and do it, and you don't make it back. And then the sermon is over, and I leave, and you know what? You're still there. I know you weren't there for something. It's just funny stuff. But, and I know you miss getting up and go to a building for church. Everybody else gets up. You hear the church bells ringing in town. You know, everybody's driving to church. And there's Andy and Aunt B and Opie there, you know, and the pastor's out front shaking your hands. How you doing? Good morning, people. So nice to see you. And you walk into your church building and the pastor comes up and, oh, hi. And then you hum in, hug some of the ladies in the church, which you couldn't do it anywhere else, but you can do it in church. And then you ladies, you get some hugs from some other guys because your husband doesn't hug you, so you're nice to get a hug from the pastor or somebody else. And the kids, they go in there and they have a good time beating each other up and hurting everybody. And it's a great time. I miss that. Oh, I still miss that kind of stuff. But the brethren, there are scriptural purposes for a local church. There are scriptural purposes for a pastor. And there are scriptural purposes for the brethren. And we miss this stuff. We miss having a church to go to where we can hear the preacher. I would wish we could all get together right now. We'd have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Just right now this morning, there's 11 people, which is more than a lot of Paul-following churches have. We could get together in a little place someplace on a daytime, nighttime, whatever, and sing and put some money together. Keep the place going, you know, and help the preacher a little bit and help somebody else that's having a hard time and go home and have a marvelous time. And there is a purpose for a pastor. The pastor's there to teach you and preach you because you are busy. And yes, the pastor can help you understand some things. He can teach you something that you didn't get. You didn't have the time. That's honest. That's legitimate. But the brethren says here in Corinthians that we're laborers together. And this is hard because, see, we're not together. I understand that. I totally understand that. And nowadays, when people get together, they fight over stuff. And legitimately so. Ladies in churches are not dressed right. Men in churches are talking about the how many boards they had to buy or how many cows they had to kill. I mean, they don't talk about spiritual things at all. Been there, done that. I know they don't. And the ladies are just yakking about the most worthless stuff. You know, the exercise this. How much did they lose this week? And did you go to the store and get this sale? And it's like, what is this? This is a social gathering, whatever. But it's supposed to be laborers together with God. We go into a bunch of verses here. Be kind and affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor preferring one another. Are you kidding me? I know what goes on in churches. Distributing to the necessity of saints. Given to hospitality. Well, we can try that here. We've done it before, but it's hard. Rejoice to them that rejoice and weep to them that weep. Here's the problem. These things in my tract here edify one another. Not to put a stumbling block in front of one another. That's Christian to Christian. Isn't that terrible? You go to church and you can stumble over somebody wearing something they shouldn't be wearing? Men? A woman should be able to know she can go to church with her family and her husband and her boys are not going to stumble over somebody showing more than they ought to show. Come on, look around. Turn around, look behind you. Look at how people are sitting. Look at what they're doing. Look at what they're wearing when they come into church. It's like, what is this? Admonish one another. Are you kidding? You admonish anybody, you'll be out that front door and the pastor will be throwing you out. Having care for one another, one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, one member be honored, all the members rejoice. Are you kidding? Somebody's honored, you got jealousies. One member suffer, people say he deserved it. So, I know what goes on in a church, but scripturally, the brethren are supposed to be there with each other. And yes, we miss that. We are alone. We are alone. I am alone. All by my little self in Tushy over this stuff. Freud, I know how lonely you are over this kind of stuff. Sam, all by yourself. No wife or anything like that, which is nobody's fault but your own. Stephen in the Marines, all by yourself in the Marines. And Brian and Adrian, you're hanging in there together, but you got all your Christian friends harassing you. Grandma, by yourself, and all this stuff. We miss the brethren. Yes, we do. And yes, we do miss the church thing. But does it please God to go to these things when it's not the right kind of church? Okay, so get off of that subject here. Because we're addicted. We're addicted. And to break an addiction is near impossible. Now, here's what happens when you do break from your local family, from your church, or from the Sunday thing, or the giving of monies or whatever, and the convenience of it all, and the brethren. You're on your own. You know what that means? You are on your own. This is where we need to grow up. See, when somebody's stuck around the gang all their life, they never grow up. They never grow up. There's no need to. What am I doing? Here we go. So, we don't grow up. Getting out of this church thing, because it's not, even if it's a good church, with good preaching and good teaching and good fellowship and good pastors and good building and it's done right, you know what? You're still addicted to something. God gave you a Bible. People went through torture, bloody torture, watched their babies and people kill, torture, the whole thing. So each one of us could have a Bible. Now, back in those days, in fact, somebody, Fred sent me an exact replica, digital replica of a King James Bible, 1611. And the thing is a beast. It's huge. I show it to you, but I haven't got the camera thing going. So, I'd be glad that we don't have that kind of a carry monstrous Bible. Be glad that your church isn't the only church in town that has the Bible. Be glad you don't have to stand in line because you don't know how to read so somebody can read it to you, but you got to get past the guard to get to it. That's the way it was. So, we have a Bible. We're on our own. And you know my whole direction of this thing is you got a Bible, you're on your own. Okay, but it's still not that easy. Most families I've run across are so dysfunctional that they can't handle a church situation in their own home. The roles are so messed up, the wives are so frustrated, the wives are so wanting this holy and honorable stuff, honorable and devout stuff, and the men are so lazy and busy or whatever, take your pick, you know, that and the kids, they just, what do you mean dad's going to be here? What are you talking about here? We got to go to church. We're addicted. So when you make this decision to leave that thing, then it's tough in a family situation. Here's another one in a family situation. Let's say one person in that family gets excited about Paul, gets excited about their Bible, but the other rest of the family doesn't. Does everybody learn at the same time? Well, if the man grabs a hold of the Bible and teaches it right, they could, but most men can't. Their pride gets in the way, their selfishness gets in the way, their laziness gets in the way, and they just beat their kids up with scriptures and preaching, and what is this? You know? So if you make that change within your family, everybody doesn't get it, and you've actually caused more trouble in your family than you ever thought of. And I know some of you folks know that. I know some of you folks have gotten right with the Paul thing and really got excited about it, but your wife didn't, or your husband didn't, or your sons didn't, or daughters didn't get it, or your dad doesn't get it, or mom, or whatever, then your life is more miserable now than it's ever been. What's with that? That's what truth does to a family. They don't know what to do without a church to go to. One of the problems is I know a lot of men can't read. A lot of people can't read. I listen to people read, and they're doing good to say the pronunciation right. They're doing good to say it in one flow of a verse. They didn't even have any opportunity whatsoever in their mind to try to hear what it was they're saying. So, yes, we are a disaster within our home. Yes, we are a disaster all by ourselves. Now, what about single people that aren't married? Well, Paul's got advice for them. Oh, I don't think I like that kind of advice. Well, until it changes, what are you going to do? Matter of fact, some of you single people out there, man, it must be nice. You can make a decision in your life, and you can change your life, and it's not going to bother anybody. Because you got nobody else to bother. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, for example, here, verse 7, "For I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man has his proper gift of God, one after this manner, another after that. I say, therefore, to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I." Okay, so stay unmarried. If your husband or wife dies, hey, stay with it. But if they cannot contain, and that means they got that sexual urge in there, let them marry, for it's better to marry than to burn. And it doesn't mean you're going to hell because you don't get married. In some cases, it means you're going to live like you're in hell if you are married. That's really a sad thing. It's no wonder people can't do anything of this Bible within their own home. I'm not pointing any fingers. I'm just saying this is the way it is today. Now, if you look at verse 32. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. He that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. Then it goes on and talks about a single lady. A shocking couple of verses if you read it real closely. Shocking. And we talked about it, but it's one that most people can't handle, that little part. But anyway, there is advice for single people. You can really love God. Now, it's pretty sad and it's frustrating when a woman has to blaspheme the Word of God to maintain her life. And that's what it is. Be glad, be thankful for God's grace, be thankful for the judgment seat of Christ, which will take care of it because it won't cause you to burn. But yeah, that's a huge waste. That's a sad thing. When a father makes their daughter, here you go, men, when a father makes your daughter grow up and get a job or a career, you're making them blaspheme the Word of God. You can't have a home decent enough to know what to do with your daughters and your wife while you provide? I know the world isn't perfect, but come on. It says to blaspheme the Word of God. They turn aside after Satan when they go out there. That's not what the Bible's written for. That's not their design. That's my number one thing, that what are we doing to the girls of this country? Christians. Okay. So, there's my introduction. That's my introduction. Now, let me show you something here. Take your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 26. Here's what you do when you don't have a church to go to. Like I said, you grow up. How do you grow up? You get into the Bible. 1 Corinthians 13:10. Is that which is perfect has come? The next verse says to grow up when that thing shows up like that. So we look at Acts chapter 26, and we'll finish this up. Now, that was all introduction. Now let's go to the short body and all conclusion all at the same time. Acts chapter 26, verse 16. You need a pastor? You need a church? You need some kind of a thing? but rise and stand up upon thy feet. This is what the Lord, risen Savior, was talking to Paul. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a what? A minister. And a witness. Where are we going to learn what we need to learn from Paul? Period. From Paul. Look at Romans 15. This is what I mean. This is called growing up. You don't have to have some pastor tell you what to do. You don't have to have some church for you to go to. The pastor's there for a purpose. The church is there for a purpose. But if it's wrong, you don't have to go to this thing. Romans 15, verse 16. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Who's that? That's Paul. Ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. You won't get that except from Paul. So see, if your pastor isn't preaching this stuff, get out. You're just wasting your time. You're a lousy testimony to the truth, and you must not love God. Paul's the guy. Very simple. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Paul's our minister. Ephesians chapter 3. A minister ministers to you. Ephesians 3:7. Goes to this whole thing about the revelation revealed unto Paul, the mystery, it says there in verse 3 and 4 and 5. 6, Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. Verse 7, whereof I was made a minister. Paul's the minister here. Colossians 1:23. Colossians 1:23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Paul's our minister. Now, here's something that might kind of surprise you. Look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. All my state shall Tychicus, declare unto you who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister. Oh, you mean Tychicus is one of our pastors, ministers? Yeah. Look at Ephesians, we'll go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 7. And as you also learned of Epaphras, our clear fellow servant, who was for you a faithful minister of Christ? Really? I thought we're supposed to be following Paul. Well, we do. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. That's Timothy. Wow. How about that? So, what do we have? We have a minister. And we have Eutychus and Epaphras and Timothy and all these guys in Paul's crowd. But where are we going to find these kind of people? In our King James Bible. I mean, like, you didn't think I was going there with this? Come on, people. You know I was going to this thing. But it's hard. I understand the difficulty of leaving a church. I understand how hard it is to come up with your own teaching and your own studies. That's why we still make this available, why we can. I know that sounds kind of dumb, but it's not dumb. What to do with your money? What do you do with your money that pleases God? Do you have more money now to buy more junk? Because you don't have to pay it to the church anymore? Can you make your yard even nicer because you don't have to give any money to the church anymore? Can you buy nicer clothes because you don't have to give any money anymore? What are you going to do at the end of the year? Oh, find somebody somewhere can send a check for $2,000 or $3,000 due for my tax write-off. Well, if that's why you're giving in the first place, you're still not getting any reward out of it from God. You still don't love God with your money. So, you know, that's a frustrating thing for people. Like I say, you miss the convenience and ease. Well, what's more easy and convenient than to stay in your own house and you're going to think? You miss your pastor. Well, of course you do. Well, some people do. He has a purpose. You miss your building as you go because you love the old building kind of stuff. You just cooked on Sundays and Mondays and Sundays and Wednesdays and stuff. To call your family together, let's do church tonight. What does it even mean? Let's go do church. What does that mean? Do we have to sing worship God like they did in the Old Testament? Do we have to do that? No, that's not what that's for. Do we have to have the specials? Do we have to do the offerings? Do we have to have You know, what do you do in your church service? Why do we have to pattern our home after a church service? Why do people pattern homeschooling after the public school when the public school has done such a horrible job with such farciness of curriculum? And why do we try to follow their ways of doing things? Why do we have to copy something? Can't you just take your Bible, teach it to your family, read something and get excited about it, mom or dad or something, and kids, and apply it to your lives and change? It gets encouragement from the parents instead of the discouragement. Oh, I tell you, we're a disaster. So you are all by yourself. You have your own Bible. If you don't, I'll send you one. You're all by yourself. You and Paul, who was called to be the minister, who gave us a Bible. Perfect. No problems. No oopsies in there. You just read it and you take it for what it says. And it's, you want to change your life? Fine. If you don't, fine. But you're going to pay for it at the judgment seat. But if you change your life, you know you're going to get hassled over it. And, okay, but you've got your Bible. You can sit down in the middle of the night and you can read your Bible. It's not exciting. It's not fun. It's not, in the flesh it isn't. It's not a joyful thing to get up in the morning and write to somebody, try to tell them what you learned in your Bible. And they say, well, yeah, that was good, but I didn't get that out of that. Before I know it, you're fighting. No, it's you and God. Do you love God? You've got a Bible. If you've got a preacher that preaches King James, right, and divided Paul, et cetera, et cetera, man, count your blessings. Because they're just not anywhere anymore. Do you need the church place? Why do you need the church? Is your family such a disaster that you can't do anything with it? You go to church and help, hope the pastor there. At least you go to church and pretend. You can't pretend in your home, because if you can't get your kids up out of bed to have you teach them a lesson or listen to one on the internet, which I understand is hard, an internet service. I know people that have done that. They don't do it anymore. It just wasn't pizzazzy. Now they're going to church somewhere. Why? Because it's pizzazzy. And they're being taught lies. But it's okay. It's church. We got the tie, we got the dresses, we look good. What is this? Bunch of fakes. This is folly stuff. Paul's our man. The only place you're going to get Paul is through a King James Rightly Divided Bible. So what's the answer to the question of what do you do now that you have no church to go to? What do? Grow up. Get a hold of that book and do something with it in your life. That's what it's all about. It's a good decision. It's the right decision. You did right. If you love God more than you love men, you'll do what's right. But your flesh is going to fight it as much as anything else is to fight quitting that church. And when you quit it, don't feel bad. You couldn't have fixed it if you'd have stayed. Pastors can't even fix it if they stayed. Who do you think you are? Anyway, it's all in the Bible. When the Bible says that the light unto our path, you know what he's talking about? He's talking about his word. Where's his word today? Right here in the King James Bible. It's the light unto your path. I think that's how that goes. That's how it goes. Always has been. Always will be. Today it's in the form of a Bible. King James Bible right there. There you go. If anybody asks you, how do you handle church without being in church? Tell them, man, it's been a freedom. It's been a release. But do you understand why I despise it and want to destroy it? It nearly destroyed us. Me and my family. Almost has. How come it hasn't? I still got the Bible. Hasn't destroyed me. But it's destroyed everybody else so far. The folly of modern Christianity, everybody gets up and they go to it anyway. Some even have no choice. Young people have no choice. But boy, you better be careful when you're sitting there. When the day comes to make that choice, make it. Don't feel bad. But it won't come easy. It will not come easy. Brian, Stephen knows that in the Marines. Stephen knows what it's like to try to tell somebody in the Marine Corps about the risen Savior and Paul and the King James Bible. If he runs across Christians in the Marines, I'm sure what you run across, Stephen, sure aren't King James guys. And if you do, he sure isn't going to use a Paul thing. And if you find a guy that's a Paul thing, he's a mid-Acts guy. So if you're even fortunate to find that, you're on your own. You've got your own Bible. You've got your own bed and pillow. There's where you go with it. And I'll try to be there for you if you let me.